We've spent 6 weeks talking about marriage and the family. That would include today's sermon. You recall, Elijah spent 3 weeks talking about trusting God with your marriage. And then the last 3 weeks, I've challenged you to trust God with your family. Now, if you've missed any of those sermons, I would encourage you to go to our church website and listen to those sermons, because I think they will be helpful to you. And of course, there's always room for improvement, isn't there? Whether we're talking about marriage or we're talking about the family, there's always room for improvement. Satan is trying to get his sticky fingers into our family and bring destruction to us. I heard a joke just a few weeks ago from Marvin Krager that I just have to pass on to you. If you don't like the joke, blame Marvin, okay? Because it's his joke. This fella had a long life dream of jumping out of an airplane and parachuting to the earth below. And his wife knew this. This was on his bucket list, so she paid for him to be able to have that experience. And there was a class offered on all the how-tos. How to bundle your parachute, how to put the parachute on the right way, how to pull the cord and release the parachute, and at what point do you do that. He learned it all. And it was finally time for him to have that experience. And he got into the plane. The plane went up way, way high. And it was time for him to jump. The door opened and out the door he went. And it was an exhilarating experience. He was falling so fast. And he's looking around. He's enjoying all of the sights. Everything was good until it came time to pull the cord. And he pulled that cord and the parachute did not release. But he did not panic, because he knew there was a second cord to pull. And he pulled that second cord, and wouldn't you know it, the parachute still didn't open. And that's when it was time. He knew he was in trouble. As he was going down so fast, he happened to notice a fella coming up towards him. And they're actually going to meet right there in the sky, one going up, the other going down. And the guy going down hollered out, "Do you know anything about opening a parachute?" And the guy going up said, "No. Do you know anything about lighting a gas stove?" Satan wants to get into our business. He wants to blow up whatever it is we're doing, whether it's the marriage or the family. He just wants to bring destruction to that. He wants to bring destruction to those that we love. He wants to bring destruction to our own lives. And so over the last 2 weeks, I have said, knowing this battle is going on for our family, I have said we need to be fervent prayer warriors for our family. And last week I said this, that we need to speak words of life to our family members rather than words of death. And if we will give attention to those messages, I think it will be beneficial to us. Our family is going to be better off. And I have one more challenge for you today in this matter of trusting God with your family. And to do that, I want to give emphasis to the word together with each of my points. Would you say that word with me? Together. Let's say it together. Together. First of all, spend time together. That may seem oversimplified, but in reality, we need to be reminded of this. It's easy for a family to fall into the trap of everyone doing their own thing and going in their own direction. We live in a fast-paced society, and if we're not careful, we can find ourselves all living under the same roof, and yet through the day, we've hardly interacted with one another at all. Now, there's work, there's school, there's games at night to go to, there are meetings, there are birthday parties to run to, there are jobs at home that need done. If you're like me, I have a to-do list. And I love scratching things off of that to-do list. But you know what? I never get to the end of that to-do list because I'm always adding stuff at the bottom of the list. And then Cindy gets in on adding stuff at the bottom of the list. My point is simply this. There's always something else calling for our attention. And then there's the TV and there's social media that's calling for our attention and our time together with those that we love. I'm talking quality time. It can become very minimal. Am I right? Do you feel that battle going on in your own household? I don't think that I'm overstating the situation. I think this is true. It's true in so many, if not all, of our households. We are busy, 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 and if we're not careful, the family's togetherness can be fractured. And small cracks lead to larger cracks if you don't tend to them. Isn't that true? Just like a crack in the foundation of your home, it can just be a small crack, but unattended to, that small crack can become a major problem down the road, leading to structural damage. I got a picture here. See that? I mean, that started out, I'm thinking, probably as just a small hairline fracture. But we tend to see that and we go, well, you know, okay, I know something needs done, but we don't do anything about it. And over time, it becomes a bigger and bigger crack. And those kinds of cracks in the foundation of the home can cause all kinds of problems in the home. Bowing walls and sticking doors and uneven floors and water infiltration and pest problems and very expensive repairs down the road. And you know what? This family is exactly the same way. If you have a little crack in the foundation of your family and you close your eyes to it, you don't give attention to it, it can become a bigger and bigger problem. Spend time together, lest you drift apart from those that you love the most. Now, I have some subpoints under this main point of spending time together. And the first subpoint would simply be this: talk together. And this actually takes effort on each person's part and a willingness to get out of our own world. Take the earbuds out. Put your phone down. And put pause on whatever else might be distracting you and actually talk to each other. One of the better places for this to happen is to sit around the kitchen table together and actually eat together for a meal. And as we sit around the table and we're eating, we can talk to each other. Do you do that? Is that something you give attention to? I will have to tell you, Cindy is intentional about this in our home. Now, I admit, after the kids were gone, and that's been quite a long while that they've been out of the home, it's a lot easier to get that plate of food and just go in to the family room or the rec room where the TV is and turn the TV on, and we just kind of veg out. We eat as we watch TV. That's the easy thing to do. But I'm thankful there are many times. Cindy says, no, we're going to sit around the table and we're going to eat together, which leads then to conversation with one another. Now, I can always tell when she wants to sit around the table because the light over the table is turned on. And there's napkins out, maybe laid on the table, and maybe silverware, or maybe the salad dressing is out on the table. Maybe some dishes of food are already there on the table. And I know, okay, this is what's going to happen. And when the kids were at home, this was very much the norm. But we'd sit around the table and we would ask them how their day was at school. We'd try to help the conversation to happen. And I think you need to do that, moms and dads. Help the conversation to happen around the table with your kids. I was invited to eat supper a few weeks ago at the Glidewells' home. I don't know that the Glidewells are here this morning, but they're new to our church. And I was wanting to get into their home just to get to know them a little better. And they found out that my wife was going to be gone over a few days of that week that I was trying to get the appointment with them. And so they said, hey, why don't you just come for supper that night? Oh, okay. Didn't have to ask me twice. And so I went into their home. We sat down around the table. As we finished eating together, several of the kids were at the table too, and Joni says, okay, what's everybody's high for the day, and what's everybody's low for the day? And each person around the table speaks up, taking their turn, telling their high, the best part of their day, then telling the worst part of their day, and then it went to the next person. It came to me. I shared my high. I shared the low. Each person conversed with one another. It was fun. It was a good exercise. And then Cindy and I went out to Indiana to visit our kids, and we're sitting there around the table eating with them, and it was either Rebecca or Luke. They asked the same exact question to their kids. What's your high for the day? What's your low for the day? And even little ones like this, they were saying what their low was or what their high was. It was a good exercise of conversation. You know where else is another good place for conversation to happen? In the car as we're driving along. If we would put our phones down, if we would turn the radio off, and if we would just talk to one another. Or how about going for a walk together as a family? You know, when Cindy and I go for a walk with each other, we tend to talk to each other. The last couple of times that we've had kids and their families come to visit us from out of town for a few days, we've made our way down to the Riverside Park there in Fort Scott. It's got a really nice half-mile pathway of asphalt around the outer edges of the park, and we've walked that pathway, and the kids, they run crazy and have fun, and the adults have conversation with each other. I think we need more of that. If we want relationships with each other, we need to talk to each other. Let me give to you another sub-point under this heading of spend time together. And remember, we're talking about our family. We're talking about what can I do to have God's blessing on my family? How can I entrust my family more to Him? How about this? Play together. Play together. Now, I admit, I will be the first to admit, even as I was preparing this message, I'm thinking, I really don't have a lot of scripture in this message today. And that's not the norm for me, but this is one of those messages. I know there's not a lot of scripture here, but there is a lot of common sense. And we might could say it this way. There is a lot of Proverbs kind of wisdom in this sermon, and hopefully we'll hear it and we'll do it. I am not saying to you anything that you don't already know today, but knowing it and practicing it is a whole nother story. Do we have, will we have the discipline to put this into practice? If we do, it will draw us closer to those that we love. As we were visiting, I think, maybe the middle part of January, we went out to Indiana to see our two kids out there and their families. And we ended up most of the time at Rebecca's house because sickness just went through both households, and Jonathan's household really got hit. And so we're at Rebecca's most of the time, and the temperature was about 20 degrees colder there than it was here. And this is during that stretch in January that was, frigid cold. And we had snow on the ground. We had a Sunday that we had missed church. And they had a whole lot more snow out there than what we had here. And as I said, the temperatures were so cold. There were wind chill factor on one of those days, 20 below. And so what did we do? We were inside. And you know, we played a lot of games together. I don't know how many Uno games I lost during that time. And Monopoly Junior. I hate that game. But my grandkids loved that game and they wanted to play it endlessly. And I lost every game, and I realized I have got to keep my eyes on my oldest grandson because he cheats. He likes to make his own rules up as we go through that game. And we played Snakes and Ladders with Wesley, and we played Farco, and we just had a really good time of playing together. And there was one day we braved the temperatures and we went out and we played in the snow and we did snow angels together. Grandpa, Papa, they call me. I'm doing snow angels in the snow with my grandkids and we're having a ball with it and we're throwing snowballs at each other and I'm trying to catch them. Out of all eight of my grandkids, I can only chase down one of them. And he's 1 year old. The rest of them, I cannot chase them down. Unless I kind of lure them to sleep and they think grandpa's or papa's not, he's not playing anymore, and then I've got them. You think those are some good memories that we're creating? Yeah. Good memories. Play together with your family. I remember as our kids were growing up playing catch with them in the backyard and me pitching to my kids and hitting them ground balls and fly balls. I'm glad that I took the time for that. And you, as a mom, as a dad, make sure that you are taking the time to play with your kids. You'll never regret it as they get older. I know it takes time. I know there's other things you could be doing, but there's not necessarily other things that are more important than what we're talking about today. Some of my favorite memories are playing softball with my son, and we played in a league together, and we played in a three-on-three basketball league together. And you know what? When we get together and we start reflecting back and talking about the good old days of our family, that's what we talk about. The days of playing softball together and basketball together. I see Brent back here on the back row. We played against that guy, and he's all elbows. Lots of fun. Play together, and it will bring you closer to each other. How about this? This is another sub-point under spend time together. Laugh together. And be able to laugh at each other as long as it doesn't go overboard and bring hurt. I don't know. Most of the time, I am the laughing stock of our family. They're laughing at me. And I gave my wife great opportunity to make fun of me all this week from last week's sermon. Do you remember? I know these guys on the front row remember, because I look down and they're rolling on the floor laughing at me. I was talking about karaoke, and I pronounced it karaoke. And there, I knew I had said the wrong word, but I was so, at that point, I couldn't even think of the right word, how to pronounce it. And so I just kept going, and these guys are down here just laughing at me. And the first thing that Cindy said when I got in the car out here in the parking lot, she said, "What in the world is karaoke?" And she's on her phone, you know, calling the kids and telling them what kind of blunder. And those are the kinds of things that will be talked about in years to come. Looking back, you remember? Remember when Dad said karaoke? Now, in our family, and probably you have somebody that provides the laughs in your family, in our family, mostly the stories that we tell are on Abby, our middle child. Dare I say, she was blonde to the nth degree growing up. And maybe, I don't mean to be offensive to you if you're blonde. She was dipsy. She was dipsy to the nth degree. And practically every time we get together as a family, we go back. We start telling stories and we start laughing, and a lot of it is poking fun at Abby, and she's good enough to go along with it. She's a good sport. I remember one particular story. This is the best story of all of our stories. I could write a book on Abby. But they were small. I don't know if she was 6, 7 years old, maybe 5, and that would have made Jonathan's 2 years older, Rebecca's 3 years younger. Snow was on the ground, and I just, let's get out of the house. And so I take the 3 kids for a walk, and we walked to the property line in the back. Through the pasture there of our property line, and we crossed the fence, and we got into the pasture behind us, and we're just going for a walk. And all of a sudden, Abby says, "Watch this." And she gets down on all fours, and she starts licking the snow. I mean, she's just licking the snow. And we're laughing at her. It was funny. And then it really got funny when she had licked her way down to a cow patty that was right there. Honest truth. And we have never let her forget that. and she's a good sport about it. But, you know, those are the kinds of things that just bring a family together. And I want to encourage you, spend time with your family. Talk to each other. Eat together. Laugh with one another. And laugh at each other. And the one being laughed at, be a good sport about it. Let me give to you a second point. These other two points will not be as lengthy as that, but they're equally important. And the second point, you want your family to be together. Look for things that you can do to serve together. One thing, I have seen examples of this just this last week with our night to remember on Friday night. This whole family on the front row, on the second row, they were together serving the special guests that were there, and they were serving the Lord. I bet you had a good time with that. And I would bet that in the days to come, that will be one of the things that your kids will remember. I saw the Lyles family out there working together. Brady and Cajun's family working together. There were, you know, they were filling drinks and they're clearing the tables of the plates and napkins and stuff, and they're working together. And I would bet that will be something that they will long remember. And so look for opportunities to serve God together as a family. I volunteer at community outreach on Tuesday mornings each week, and several times over the last few years when my kids come and visit us and they're with us over a Tuesday morning, I'll take my grandkids with me to community outreach. And Barbara Long is good enough to let me do that. And they're sometimes loud and you know, they're trying to help stock the shelves, or they're trying to help me make freezer bags that are going to be given out to people who are in need. And they are absolutely loving it. And Barbara, you know, it's a little more loud there that morning that the kids are there, but she's okay with that. And then she'll come in with some kind of a snack. Hey, kids, want a snack? Yeah. And they have fun. And we're serving God together. I remember taking our kids on mission trips to Mexico. And there were all kinds of service projects on those mission trips. We mixed concrete together and poured it. And we worked on a building, building a house together. Larry Paddock, he isn't here this morning, but he's been on all of the mission trips that we've been on to Mexico. And he would serve as the leader, the foreman of the work crew. And I remember Jonathan digging a pretty deep hole by hand. It was going to be a septic system for the family there. And I actually texted him this morning. I said, "How deep was that hole that you dug?" And he said it was 4 feet wide, 6 feet long, and he said it was 10 feet deep. I said, "How in the world did you even get out of that hole?" And he said, "I had a shovel. I lifted the shovel handle up, and I held on, and those guys lifted me out." Now, there were several young people that were in that hole digging together. It wasn't just him, but you think he remembers that? Yeah. And just the trip down to Mexico and back is an adventure. It's a time of togetherness. And when you have your family on a mission trip such as that, they are living for a few days in a land that is entirely different from what we live in. And they won't forget it. Cindy and I were talking, and then Jonathan and I, through text this morning, we were reminiscing. There was one of these trips that we took to Mexico, and we had prepared gift bags for little kids, and we had chosen a neighborhood. We were going to go, and we were going to walk the neighborhood and give these gift bags to the kids who have no excess of their own at all. And they were just simple things like gum and candy and just things that you buy at the dollar store that we had put in the gift bags, and we're giving these out, and the kids are thrilled over it. And some of the older kids, Jonathan was in this group, they had gone off together apart from us. And it's time for us to leave. We're on the bus. We're waiting for these older kids to get back. And here they come. I'm thinking, good grief. Jonathan, get your shirt on. He's down to nothing. All he's got on is a pair of shorts, and that's it. His shoes are gone. His shirt is gone. And I'm off the bus, and I'm saying, hey, what happened to your shoes and shirt? Gave it away. Oh, wow. Nothing Dad could say about get your shoes and shirt on. No. It was like, oh my, I should have given mine away too. They'll never forget that. I don't know. How long has that been, Cindy? 07? Talking 20 years almost. And Jonathan this morning in that text, he's remembering it like it was yesterday. Find an avenue of service for your family to do together. Take them to a nursing home to visit a resident there. Work on a meal together and take it to a shut-in. There's someone who's sick. Go shovel snow for a widow. Go rake leaves for a widow. Teach your kids about service to others and to Jesus. And as you do that, you'll be giving Him glory, and you will be making memories that last for a lifetime. Let me end with this. As we're talking about togetherness, we seek to trust God with our family. Pray together. That's one thing I tried to do faithfully with my kids as they were growing up, is to pray with them individually as they went to bed. And it was a special time. For me, it was really special. And I think they would say now as they look back, yeah, that was pretty special, Dad. We remember you taking the time to pray with us. I pray with Cindy every night before we go to bed. Take some time. She's a night owl. I'm an early morning person. So, most nights I'm heading to bed three before her. But I'll take time to pray with her. And don't just pray with your kids when they're little. How about praying with them when they're big? And you may have to get on the phone and pray with them. And I did that just this last week with Rebecca. I knew Rebecca is feeling really, really bad right now because her littlest one, 1 year old, got his fingers into a treadmill and couldn't get them out as that belt was running. And these three fingers right here have been injured pretty good, and they're calling it a burn. And he's scheduled to have skin graft surgery this next week. And she's feeling like, I really blew it as a mom. We hurt for Hudson. And I got on the phone, and she expressed this to me, and I said, Rebecca, just let me pray with you. Take time to pray with your kids, whether they're here or whether they're here. And it will be meaningful to them. When they're going through a crisis, you support them in prayer. We're talking about togetherness. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. You know, our family is the greatest gift God's given to us other than Himself, His Son. Right next to that is family. And we need to give attention to being together and fight this battle that Satan is trying. He's trying to bring destruction, and he's wanting us to go in 40 different directions. And we need to fight to be together. Spend time together. Serve together. Pray together. Laugh together. And then make sure of this, that you do everything you can to be together forever in heaven. Let's pray.